This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here with Christopher John O'Shea. 2 weeks in a row. What kind of luck do you get?
I was going to say, what did you do to deserve that? So, but I'm glad to be here.
It's good to have you, my friend.
Yeah.
And we are tonight on an open show, Christopher. An open show means that our listeners get to direct the conversation. They get to ask the questions. They get to determine what they're going to listen to us pontificate about tonight. And anything on your personal finances, be it on stocks or bonds or IRAs or 401ks, or maybe you have questions about Social Security or Medicare, or maybe you have questions about just your company benefits that you have, or maybe you have questions on estate planning and something that's going on in your estate. But and if it deals with your personal finances, the professional financial advisor should be able to cross the gamut of all those different topics and be able to help you. And that's why we do this show, is to demonstrate what a true professional financial advisor does. And as we say in one of the commercials we run, is that, you know, anybody can go in and make investments for you. And investment in this world has been proven in much statistical information that index funds are going to outperform almost any investment strategy that you have. And if that is true, which I think the statistics prove that it's true, what you should be paying a professional advisor for is comprehensive advice, and not just to make investments and give you a little gibberish once in a while about, you're headed in the right direction, or, you know, so I've run a computer program, and yes, these things all say lots of wonderful things. They should be able to go through comprehensive tax planning, comprehensive estate planning. They should be in-depth on all the topics of insurances or medical or company benefits, retirement plans.
You say long-term care. All this stuff is changing.
Care, everything.
All
and,
the time.
And like a doctor of your medical, a doctor of personal finance should be able to, from their own knowledge, be able to address all these issues. And as we say, you know, anybody can make investments in today's world and come up with good asset allocations and come up with some unique new ideas and so forth. But comprehensive knowledge takes years to develop and experience to be able to work with clients to help them in the greatest benefit, to lower their taxes, to keep their estate planning moving in the positive direction, keep their insurance costs down, make sure the risk management is in line and so forth. So anyway, if you want to call in and ask a question, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in and ask a question on any topic dealing with personal finances and direct the conversation. And, you know, this morning, Chris, I talked to Sean and Frank about Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And, you know, people have got to be fascinated about what is going on with Bitcoin. What is it? Why is it going up so much and so forth? Well, you know, the whole concept about you have to understand first, cryptocurrencies come about by an algorithm that they created called a blockchain. And there are so many calculations that can be done in a blockchain. It's 21 million different calculations that can be done. And each time one of those calculations is done, a Bitcoin is created. So about 10 years ago or somewhere, they created one Bitcoin. And then the calculation began and the blockchain began. And every time a Bitcoin is created or somebody buys one, there is a number that's put out, and that number has to meet into this algorithm that that thousands of computers around the world might have, and the number you have has to fit into that algorithm exactly, and it takes a while for the computation to work, so it's almost impossible to hack all the people that are what do they call them, miners, who are verifying that the purchase you made is a valid purchase. And I mean, it's a, you know, I don't even begin to understand what the heck are they calculating, how does it exactly work, and so forth. But it is, you know, it is fascinating.
There's a lot of power usage on it.
There is a lot of power, you know, but what happens is when the computers validate that this is a valid transaction. This isn't a phony. This is a valid transaction. It verifies in the algorithm of all these different computers. All the miners win one new Bitcoin, and they share it, okay? And, you know, they get a certain percentage of that Bitcoin for the calculations and so forth that they did. And then every time a new Bitcoin is created, and since 2007, I think it was, when the first Bitcoin was created, there have been like 16,500,000 Bitcoins have been created since then, and there's only, the algorithm only allows for 21 million some odd bitcoins to be created. So there is a finite supply of them, yet anybody can create a new Bitcoin. And they got other ones called Litecoin, and they got Ethereum, and they've got a couple others out there. And so it's just a fascinating concept. We have a couple callers online. Let's go to... Is that Janice?
Yes, hi, it's Janice.
Janice, Bitcoin or weed stock? What can we help you with?
Well, Mr. Tignanelli, specifically the Canada weed stocks, I think, pardon the pun, has been on fire the last couple of weeks.
Well, that's true.
That they're going to legalize it.
That's true.
And the Bitcoin, there's really nothing there. I just didn't know where I should put my money. If you had to pick one or the other.
Well, you know, they're both complicated investments, you know, because, you know, marijuana stocks, you know, it's not difficult for anyone to create marijuana or to grow it. It's not difficult for anybody to create the pills of, you know, or to refine it into pills or whatever you're going to do with it. And there's tons of people around the world that want to do this. And as you legalize it, the question becomes, who's going to be able to make it profitable? And that's where I fall down to say, I don't know how to pick the winner in the marijuana race. And as far as Bitcoin goes, it's hard to say what exactly you own when you own a Bitcoin, and so many cryptocurrencies are being created. I'm wondering when it all just folds. But you're going to have to hold with me if you want to ask any more on that, because I've got to go to traffic right now, and I'm going to be right back with Money, Riches, and Wealth.
This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. This is for business owners and presidents of companies listening today. If you have a 401k in your company, then let me warn you that lawyers are hunting for you with good reason. 401k plans with less than 1,000 employees have been built around revenue sharing, or in my words, commissions. The Department of Labor has opened a door for lawyers to sue you on behalf of employees unhappy with excessive fees in the plan. They are correct, but the funny thing is, the business owner has normally the majority of the money in the plan. You need a great plan for you and your employees, for everyone's retirement is dependent on it. We do a 401k review of your plan to help determine how to develop the best possible commission-free plan and keep the plan current. Call 410-823-SAVE, that's 410-823-SAVE, to schedule your 401k review. Everyone's retirement is dependent on it, so call 410-823-SAVE.
Do you even know what my favorite Christmas song is? Oh, Holy Night. Oh, now you know. And do you see what I see? Is that what that's called, or is there another name for it?
It works.
Okay, you know what
I
mean. Yeah, right. Yeah. Now you know. Anyway, we're here on Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're on an open show, so if you want to direct the conversation, as Craig wants to talk about Social Security, we can address your questions, and you can call in at 410-922-6680 if you want to call in. Before I go to Craig, though, I just want to say that, you know, when things like phenomena like Bitcoin and marijuana come up, you know, we're fee-only advisors. We don't care. I mean, I've helped at least two clients buy into Bitcoin, one through an IRA account, another one, you know, directly. We don't care what our clients do. As fee-only advisors, we're here to help our clients. If they want to do it, we explain the risks to them and how. We've had a couple clients want to invest in marijuana, and we've helped them find avenues to do it. But, you know, I'm not about to endorse them because, you know, it's just too risky. Anytime you see a mania where, you know, everybody and his brother has figured out the way to get richer than rich could possibly be rich, and they give up their jobs of doing whatever to become whatever, dealing with Bitcoin, you know, and you see a rise, an astronomical rise of this magnitude. It went from about 1,000 a year ago to, what, 16, 17,000 today?
Yeah, it was even lower than 1,000.
Yeah, yeah. It was lower than 1,000. That's a, you know, that's an astronomical. That's an astronomical rise in a year. And I do understand some of the phenomena, but I, you know, I also understand manias. There's a great book, Manias, Panics, and Crashes, and we read it ourselves. It's a classic going back, I think it was written about 50 to 100 years ago. And, you know, you ought to read it as to why people get caught up in these types of phenomena. I got to go to Craig, but if you want to call in, 410-922-6680. Craig, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, hi. Go ahead and ask your question on Social Security.
Yes. Okay, so I know there's an earnings limit for early retirement.
Yep.
And so I didn't start drawing 62.
Right.
And I didn't start drawing thinking that I wouldn't reach that limit, which I won't if I count April till January, but then December. But then someone said they count the whole year. So how do they do that with the earnings limit?
So are you talking about when did you retire or when did you start working? Or
well, I started drawing in April.
Okay.
I'll make more than the earnings limit.
Okay, in the year you in the year you start
until December, then I'll be under it.
If the year you start drawing, they do it monthly.
In April, yes.
And so, but they do it monthly, all months of the year. So every month you can't go over the limit. So the limit for a month is about, I don't know, somewhere around $1,300 or so a month. So if you didn't make more than $1,300 a month from April to December, you should be good with no penalty necessary for 2017. And then in 2018, I think it went up to like $17,100 or so.
Yeah, right. I think it did. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So, so you're good. You'd be good to go if you don't. How old are you too, Craig? What age?
62.
Well, 62.
Okay. So you just turned 62. So that's how it works.
Yeah.
So it's monthly this year for you. Next year, it's the full year because that's when you earn your you'll get Social Security for a full year. So they'll just look at your annual.
Right. So whatever the monthly limit is, and I read it was $1,500. So
yeah, I can't tell you exactly what the monthly limit is, but it's similar. It's like $16,800 divided by 12, basically.
Right.
You know.
If you make more than $1,500 in any one of those months that you're collecting, does that void that, or is it just a total?
No, what it does is, you know, it's only a one for two for every dollar over that. So so let's say you made $1,510, they'd take $5 back from you next year.
Oh, I see. They do it for each month.
And keep in mind, Craig, that if they take any money back from you, when you turn your full retirement age, they'll recredit your calculation and give you even more money, a little more money in the year. So let's say you made $35,000 a year every year after 62, and they took it all back. When you turn 67 or you're 66, your full retirement age, 66 and 4 months or whatever, they would give it all back to you, though, without a penalty and so forth. So anything they actually take from you, they will give back to you when you hit your full retirement age.
Oh, I see. Okay,
so,
very good.
All right, buddy, take care. I'm going to Bob in Pasadena. Bob, how can we help you?
Hello?
Yes, sir. How can we help you?
Just a minute, please.
All right. I got a minute. You got a minute, Chris?
I do.
Hello.
Yes, Bob.
I have a question about if you give your taxable income is able to give you a zero capital gains rate, and a zero dividend rate.
That's correct.
Well,
are you single or married?
Married.
Okay, go ahead. Your question is?
If you go beyond that threshold, are all of your dividends?
No. So here's how it works, okay? So the 15% tax bracket is where your capital gains and dividends are zero. So your 15% tax rate for a married couple is about $75,000. Let's just use that. It's somewhere in that ballpark. I don't know the exact number. So let's say you had $75,500 worth of capital gains and dividends, and it's the only income you have, all right? You would say that, wow, am I going to all of a sudden pay 15% on my full $75,500 because I went over $75,000 by $500? And the answer is no. You're going to get the 0% capital gains rate for every capital gain up to $75,000, and then you're going to pay 15% on the last $500. And matter of fact, let me explain it to you a little more interesting, is that this is interesting too. Let's say that you make $20,000 of earned income, and then you make $55,500 worth of capital gains, it'll still work the exact same way. You'll pay ordinary income tax on the $20,000, you'll pay 0% on the $50,000, and then you'll pay capital gains rate of 15% on the last $500,000. So you'll pay earned income tax at the 10% rate on the first $20,000, and then you're going to pay only 15% capital. So they treat the capital gains and dividends as if they're the last dollars earned, and that's good news for you, all right?
How about the dividends?
Same deal, same deal. Doesn't matter whether it's capital gains or dividends, it's going to work the exact same way.
So you'll get the $75,000, but if it's over
It's only the last bit that's over the 15% tax bracket that you'll start paying 15% capital gains on the dividends or the capital gains.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you.
All right, buddy. You take care. Good question, though. You know, you deal with that a lot. Oops, Leo and the other caller, you're going to have to hold on because I got to take my next traffic pause. But we're on a open show tonight. You can direct the conversation. We've gone to Social Security, taxable income, Bitcoin, and lots of other questions that you might want to ask about your personal finances. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in. Right now we're going to traffic. The Eagles.
No,
all
man.
I have to say is the Eagles, and it was always right.
It was
last
always
week.
Right. That's Neil Young in some way, shape, or form.
That, we can't hear you for some reason.
Yes. Okay. So he's. That's
there you
him,
go.
That's him singing, though.
Come on, Chris. You didn't know that. You looked it up on your phone there. Anyway, we're going to Leo. He's been holding on patiently in Cadenceville. Leo, are you still there?
Still here.
All thanks right, for, buddy. What's up?
Thanks for taking my call. Bitcoin.
Yep.
I don't understand that blockchain technology. And you were saying that you were helping clients buy it, and you explained the risk to them. In your explanation of that blockchain technology and cryptocurrencies, there were an awful lot of I don't knows and I don't understands in there.
There are, because I don't understand the algorithm is what I'm saying. I understand the cryptocurrency and I understand how it operates and why it's popular. The thing that's driving Bitcoin is twofold. Number one, it's the currency of the criminal element, people who are doing things under the table, or the hackers and the, you know, people, you know, like if you ever had your computer hijacked and they say, we want $150 to give you the key to open up your computer again, they want paid in Bitcoin. And these people know that they can't be traced when they do that. So there's a huge element out there that is dealing in this currency, but then you have all the legitimate people that just want to own it, and then you start seeing the price go up, and all of a sudden, bam, you get a mania going, and people just can't get enough of it, and everybody thinks they're going to get bloody rich on Bitcoin. So I understand the economics of it. I just don't understand exactly how the algorithms work and so forth to create and mine Bitcoin. That's something that I'd have to get more into the software side of the issue.
And
you
were,
that's the kind of stuff you need to understand.
No. I don't need to understand that from a financial point of view, because it's proven to me in every article I've read that the blockchain is almost impossible to hack.
Well, look, the first blockchain technology I knew of was Wikipedia, supposedly, you know, a replacement for the encyclopedia. And supposedly that stuff could be counted.
Wikipedia is not a blockchain, my friend. You have to understand what a blockchain is, and a blockchain it would be impossible to break because it is an algorithm that can only be validated with a proper key from numerous computers throughout a universe of computer systems.
Correct. And that was what was supposed to keep.
But it is not a blockchain. Wikipedia is not a blockchain. It's a totally different concept. What you're talking about, that you had lots of people who were maintaining Wikipedia and so forth. A blockchain is an actual mathematical computer program that has to be validated, and the program would not validate without the proper keys from all these different individuals. And that's why banks and brokerage firms are looking at blockchain as a way to clear securities in lieu of stock exchanges. And so I don't need to understand the full dynamics of how a Microsoft computer operates. I understand the gist of it, but I don't understand the full coding and everything of it, but I know how to operate with it. So I understand what you're saying, but I got other callers I got to take. All right, so... But I, you know, I don't know what Leo was trying to get to. I guess he said you should be a mathematical software engineer also if you're going to talk to clients about it. Charlie in Ellicott City.
You know, if I just smoke a couple more marijuana joints, I think I might be able to figure out that algorithm, you know?
I understand. What's up, my friend?
My question is, I don't know if you saw today this new tax thing that supposedly they've agreed to.
Sure.
At the White House, he had like five or seven families, and they all said that what they were going to do with the money that they would save on their taxes. But I never heard exactly, definitively, how they were going to save on their taxes.
Well, let's put it this way.
The only thing I've heard that would affect the middle class was doubling the standard exemption. I mean, then, and I thought, that was great. That's going to help my wife and I. And but then I heard yesterday, I didn't know this, they're doing away with the personal exemptions.
They are.
So right. They're taking money out of your right-hand pocket and put it in your left-hand pocket.
Look, this whole tax law, Charlie, is a mess. And I had a client just in today, and we were looking at his tax return and looking at just some of the gist of this new tax law, and it was clearly going to be a bit of a negative for him. Especially anybody who makes charitable contributions and doesn't have huge amount of itemized deductions. You know what it might be a boom for, Chris, is to go out and borrow money on a new mortgage and take a mortgage out so that you have the interest deductions to keep your itemizing so that your charitable contributions and so forth will be deductible.
Well, yeah, I think there are some other things that are in there that depending if you have children, because they're increasing the child credit and increasing the amount of money you can make before
income,
you get
right.
it.
Be right now you're phased right. out at $100,000. Now right. you're going to be phased out at like $220,000 or something like that.
That's correct.
So
yeah, but if they take away the personal exemption, that kind of negates the increase in the child. Whatever you were talking about, the child thing.
No, well, yeah, they are taking away the personal exemptions.
So a family of five would lose about $15,000 in deductions just from losing the personal exemption.
But then they're going to increase, depending on the age of the children, they could actually get, those are deductions. The credit itself could be increased by $1,000.
Chris, you and I are not going to defend this stupid tax plan of these guys, are we?
Well... No, I'm just trying to get to the mechanics of it. No,
I agree.
Chris, you see,
I'm just wondering who's been smoking the marijuana.
Well, they say they're going to simplify it. Certainly isn't that, because now you are one special interest versus another. You're just playing one off another again.
This is what I call it, Charlie. This is shifting the chairs on the deck of the Titanic. That's what it is, you know, because the tax law is...
On the personal side.
On the personal side. Well, on the corporate side, I was talking to my brother-in-law, who's an international tax accountant for a big public publicly traded company, and he was sitting there lamenting about this new tax law, and he said, all in all, it'll probably work to our benefit in the long run, but there's going to be a lot of upfront costs with the repatriation of money and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So anyway, Charlie, I got to run, but I agree with you. Somebody's smoking something to think that there's something going good on here. It's all smoke and mirrors. It's just like when Obama passed his stupid ACA law and tried to give everybody a boatload of garbage, saying it was going to be to everyone's benefit.
Keep your doctors.
And you're
going to
keep your doctor.
Keep your plan.
And all your costs are going lower. And, and now you got the stupid Republicans out there saying, we're going to cut your taxes and we're going to make life great for you. You know, you just say pox on both their parties. Let's just pick them all up and throw them in the ocean and start over again.
In the meantime, we're going to listen to traffic.
Well, we're going to go to Joseph real quick. Joseph, how can we help you?
Yes, good evening to you. I had a Social Security question.
Go ahead.
I worked until I was like 55 years old.
Okay.
Then I went on disability.
Okay.
Now I'm 65.
Okay.
What happens at that point? Do I stay on Social Security?
No, what's going to happen, Joseph, is you're still on disability until you hit your full retirement age, which is 66 years of age. Once you hit 66 years of age, your Social Security check will seamlessly switch from SSDI to retirement, and that means then that you can go work and make as much money as you want, and nothing will come of it. Right now, if you worked, you would have to earn no more than $8,400 on SSDI, or you could, if you wanted to work, you could go down to them and say, hey, I'd like to consider working. Can I try it out, et cetera, et cetera. Then soon you'll be 66. When you turn 66, you can earn an unlimited amount of money anyway.
Yeah, well, I don't really particularly want to work anymore.
Okay, but, nothing's going to happen. Your check's not going to go up. You're just going to be reclassified from SSDI to retirement, but your check will not go higher other than cost of living increases from this point on, all right?
But will it lower?
No. It'll stay the same, but it'll just be reclassified from SSDI to retirement. End of the story. You won't even know that it happened, okay?
And do I have to apply for something?
No, it just happens automatically. It happens automatically. And it allows your spouse, if you're married, to go in and make claims against your benefits also. I got to run to traffic, my friend. Thank you. Good call. We're on an open show, 410-922-6680. Take it away, traffic.
Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Many of you listened to our show for years and thought about coming to meet with us. With every financial physical I do, I wish you would not wait any longer. The mistakes I consistently see are frustrating. I make this offer. Just do a financial physical, and we'll do the complete analysis in two meetings, and you get to go home with the full plan to determine if the physical was worth the cost. If not, absolutely no charge. We do not sell products. We are comprehensive advisors. If your personal finances are in good shape and we add no value, then the financial physical is free. Do not wait. Get a second opinion and just do a financial physical. I am confident you are going to experience something unique and change your tax plan, your retirement plan, your investments, and much more. Call 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE to schedule your physical or go online to DrewTig.com. That's DrewTig.com.
And this is Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here at the last quarter hour of the show.
That's right.
What was that?
That was from the 60s.
It was Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Same vein, but not the same group.
Right. See, I got it this time. Kingston Trio, Peter, Paul, and Mary.
That's right.
Where Have All the Flowers Gone by the Kingston Trio of Peter, Paul, and Mary. Perfect. There you go. See, Chris, I could teach you something. You know, one
this
day,
is Chris, the producer.
You'll understand.
Well, not that you can't teach me.
Yeah,
stuff,
I could
too,
teach you something about music.
But the Eagles, yes, you could.
Not the football team either, because they're hurting now that their quarterback got hurt.
That's true.
Yeah. Anyway, we're here on an open show, 410-922-6680. Did they end up winning that game that he got hurt
in? They did.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So who's their backup?
The guy who used to be their new guy of age, you know, Nick Foles.
Ah.
So, yeah, he went away, came back. So, you know, he's a decent quarterback. We'll see what he does. Anyway. I really like Carson Wentz, so he had a lot going.
Anyway, we're here on an open show, 410-922-6680. We have nobody online. We had lines jammed there for a little bit, but now we have nobody online, 410-922-6680. And
he wants someone to talk to because he doesn't want to talk about this tax law anymore.
It's, you know, it's going to be a nuisance, you know, again, talking to my...
And we have to get into the finer points that we haven't even seen things. I went and looked. You couldn't find it anywhere. The Senate passed version had scribbles on it, and then just big X's through pages. One website had a copy released to them, but you had to go search for it to see what was in there. And they didn't have time to actually type the stuff up. They just went and put X's through lines because they passed that at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
So they're throwing this thing together so fast that it'll take months and months and months with clarifications to come back and realize that things that they did, there are conflicts going on.
Right. But anyway, you know, let's get back to looking at this concept of Bitcoin because,
okay,
you know, here's a concept where people are watching, like you said, this was trading at $700 or so dollars a year ago. And I think it was 778 is what I think I heard. And now it's at 17,000, let's call it. So just think of the meteoric rise that people saw that others made. You know, in other words, if you had $1,000 in it, it's worth, what, $200,000 now, right? And that would have been about 20-fold?
Well, I think even more so. I think within the last 18 months, it is a 1,000% increase.
More than that, even, isn't it?
Yeah. Because I remember we were looking at the ETF.
Well,
the Bitcoin ETF was trading like $60. So that thing is...
GBTC is, what, 1,800 right now?
Don't know.
Yeah.
GBTC. That's
well, actually,
about.
It's down now because...
2,500.
2,500
is the high, 2,100 is the low today.
Wow. It's just flying, you know? It's just interesting. But, you know, here's the point, is that anytime something goes up like this, and somebody, our guest last week was explaining how Bitcoin, the only investment that ever followed the path of Bitcoin was the tulip bulb mania of the 1600s in the Netherlands. And, you know, people people thought that the tulip bulb mania or that a tulip bulb, because people kept paying higher and higher and higher prices for it, that they could only go higher and higher and higher. And you got these, what's the twins out there that helped to create the Bitcoin?
Wrinkle Voss,
you know.
Voss.
They're out there saying that it's going to go 20-fold more from this point is what they're saying.
The Bitcoin in July of 2016, $600.
Yeah, but you know, all you got to do is have governments around the world say, that's it, time's up, we're not going to let this thing continue to do this. And next thing you know, something's going to bring it down. That's, you know.
Sure.
And how many cryptocurrencies are being created on a daily basis? I hear there were like 250 IPOs in front of the Securities and Exchange Commission to start new Bitcoin cryptocurrencies and so forth. So they're being created quickly themselves. Now, Bitcoin has the advantage that they're ahead of the game, that people do accept it as a form of a value of trade, you know, and so forth. So it's going to be interesting to see where this heads in the long run. But my guess is that Bitcoin ultimately collapses and goes down by 90% from where it peaks out.
Sure.
Wherever it peaks out, it's going to drop by 90% when it's all said and done. And then it'll resume a march, which will be a much more reasonable march over a much more steady incline, and never be a great investment, but not be...
And the people you were talking about helping out, that's way before now, way before the vertical...
Yeah, because criminals are going to go use other cryptocurrencies because this one's getting way too expensive to be used. Anyway, we're going to Brendan in Timonium. How can we help you?
Good evening, gentlemen.
How you doing?
As you know, the market has been flying high, and I want to get your thought on some positions.
Go ahead.
For example, stocks like Boeing, Caterpillar, Amazon, they've had tremendous growth, the last year.
Right.
So is your feeling to keep letting them ride, or you think it's time to...
Have you owned them?
Yeah, I own them, yeah.
So, the way we always look at it, Brendan, is the question isn't that, are they too high in price or not? The question is more, why do you own them? And what were you looking for when you originally purchased them? What was your strategy? What was your thought process? Because we own stocks that sometimes are a little overvalued in the during certain periods of time, but we're going to continue to hold them because they were purchased as long-term investments. And I'm sure Warren Buffett would tell you the same thing. There are times some of his stocks get ahead of themselves, but he just sits back and lets them go down when they go down because he believes in the long term their business is going to continue to rise. But on the other hand, he owns and I've owned many stocks that I bought for a short-term trading play. You know, we've got one right now that I just bought two weeks ago, and if it makes a move of 20%, I assure you, I'm selling it. I could care less if it does fantastic from that, because when I bought it as a short-term trade. And so that's what you have to be thinking about, not wondering if I think it's overvalued or undervalued and so forth. What was your strategy? Those are great companies long-term, and if you have a long-term desire that you had originally purchased, I'd say just forget about what they're doing right now. Those are great long-term companies, especially Amazon. That one is especially, though I do believe it's probably pricey at this moment.
Sure.
We're out of time, though, Brendan. I hope I gave you a reasonable explanation of what you were looking for.
Thank you.
All right, buddy. I think he wanted me to do like Jim Cramer say, bada boom. What does he say? He has that saying. He says, bada boom, buy it, sell it, keep
it.
I
think I saw him once like 10 years ago.
Anyway, we're here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Do we have a guest next week?
That's a good question, Drew. That's an excellent question.
Tom would have known.
Well, he'll be here next week to tell you.
This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.